warning, this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today, we'll talk about the conservative leaders, talk show hosts like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and a parade of others who've taught the country, even if you were against the war, you must support the troops. We'll talk through that. We'll see if that is reasonable. Is that a moral statement? Is it a principled statement? Or is it moral relativism, legal positivism? Is it a statement that reveals, you know, conservatives like to say that liberals don't have a core, that they don't have a set of core beliefs. Listen to that statement. Even if you were against the war, you must support the troops. Is that true? Is that true? So let's think through that, because I think that is one example of how conservatives have helped to undermine morality, justice, and truth in America, because the conservative movement is utterly broken. It's broken. Also, I'd like to talk about the Southern Baptists who are – now, here's a group doing something good, I hope, that they'll be calling for – there's a resolution to be introduced at their convention next month in June that will call for their members to pull their kids out of government schools, out of public schools. This from WorldNet Daily. And then finally, a Libyan court in Libya – a Libyan court has sentenced to death doctors and healthcare workers, seven of them, for spreading the AIDS virus in a children's hospital. 400 children are now infected with HIV because of medical negligence, apparently, and 43 have since died. Parents were protesting with signs saying, thanks for the AIDS. And these are six Bulgarian healthcare workers and a Palestinian doctor of all countries, or of all peoples. And so the Bulgarian government, of course, is calling the sentence unacceptable. Unacceptable. We Bulgarians want to be able to kill as many children as possible without being held responsible. Well, I don't know exactly what their rationale is, but it sounds like a solid sentence if, in fact, they're guilty. So our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. Those stories plus your calls, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. All right, Sean Hannity today. He was talking with that filthy cartoonist who, his name is Ted Rall, who mocked the hero who died in Afghanistan, Pat Tillman. Pat Tillman had a contract for millions of dollars to play for the NFL for the Arizona Cardinals. And after 9/11, he and his brother enlisted to fight to defend our country and our freedom from those who would kill us. And he died in Afghanistan. He was killed in a firefight during a search and destroy mission near the Pakistan border. And his younger brother, Kevin Tillman, escorted his brother's body home. And so this filthy cartoonist, Ted Rall, is just mocking Pat Tillman, who's an Army Ranger, as a bloodthirsty fool who joined the military because he just wanted to kill Arabs. And so I appreciate and I'm thankful that Sean Hannity would utterly condemn this cartoonist. But his refrain that he's probably repeated 1,000 times in the last few years, along with virtually every other conservative talk show host in the country, practically, has said, even if you were against the war, you must support the troops. Is that reasonable? Is that a true statement? Is that morally valid? Think about it. Now, right now, those of us who are conservative or Christian, we support this war because we know that it's okay to kill. In fact, it's good to kill terrorists and mass murderers. It's good to kill them. God wants us to kill them, he says in the Bible. So it's a just war. So we want to tell people, hey, you should support this war. But how about this which has become now a pillar of conservative truth? One of our truisms, even if you were against the war, you must support the troops. Now, I haven't brought up the obvious examples because they must be going through your mind right now. Right? Think of other countries and other wars. And you'd say to the people of the country, even if you were against the war, you must support the troops. So if you lived in Germany, you would tell that to your fellow citizens of the fatherland. You'd say, this is Deutschland. We must support the war effort. Even if you were against the war, you must support the troops. If you were Japanese in World War II, would you tell that to your fellow Japanese citizens, knowing initially that it was wrong to attack Pearl Harbor? Would you say, well, you know, now that we've attacked, now that we're the aggressors, we have to support the war effort? I mean, there's no moral foundation to that statement. That's a liberal concept. And, you know, liberals have, for the most part, gone along with it. They haven't been willing, except for this Ted Rall and a few others, they haven't been willing to say, we oppose the troops. Because if a war is wrong, you should oppose the troops. You should oppose the war effort if it's wrong. You should only support it if it's right. So conservatives should say, because the war is right, you should support the troops. That's it. If the war is wrong, you should oppose the troops, oppose the government that's prosecuting the war, and you should oppose the war effort. But we conservatives, even we conservative Christians, we are fools. We are fools. How many thousands of times do we have to hear that refrain? And I got sick of it the first time I heard of it, years ago. And, you know, the example of Bill Clinton going overseas to protest America during the Vietnam War. And that was despicable because, once again, it was proper and just for us to try to protect the freedom of millions of people from communist murder and tyranny. So that war was just. And Bill Clinton went over to England and even to Moscow, for that matter, and he'd condemn us. Now, it wasn't wrong that he went to a foreign country and condemned us. It was wrong because he was wrong. But conservatives have made a new truism, one of the new Ten Commandments of conservatism, that you can't criticize your country on foreign territory. Oh, so if an Iraqi escaped Saddam Hussein's grip and came to America, he couldn't tell us what was going wrong in his country? He couldn't say, my government is evil and here's what they're doing? That would violate a conservative, one of the Ten Commandments. Don't criticize your country in a foreign land. So no Russian could escape from the Soviet Union and warn us? Was Alexander Solzhenitsyn somehow evil because he criticized to the world his own country? Of course not. So we went, a group of us went to New Zealand when Bill Clinton, after the Wall Street Journal wrote in a column by one of their editorial writers, that if you look at the evidence, you see that Bill Clinton, in fact, raped Juanita Broderick, one of his campaign workers. That's what it was the Wall Street Journal. Did I say that? The Wall Street Journal printed that when you look at the evidence, you see that, in fact, Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick. That's how strong they put it. And we looked at the evidence and concluded they were right. We did a two-hour interview with the nurse, Norma Rogers, who found Juanita in the bed in their hotel room where Bill Clinton had raped her friend. They were at a nursing convention in Little Rock, Arkansas. And so when Bill Clinton went to New Zealand, a group of us here from Bob Inert Live, we followed him there with huge banners that you could read a half a mile away, and they said, Clinton rapist. And everywhere that Clinton went, we went. And when he got a two-page spread in the New Zealand, the major newspaper, page 2 and 3, all pictures of Bill Clinton, the bottom right-hand corner of the two-page spread was Americans accuse Bill Clinton of raping campaign worker. There's the headline in the story. He's on the TV news, and there's our signs, Clinton rapist. He's on talk radio, and there we are, explaining that Bill Clinton is a rapist. So what happens? We come back to America, and I get to be on Michael Reagan's talk show, and he condemned us for criticizing our country on foreign soil. Now, is that unbelievable? We broke one of the Ten Commandments of conservatism, which has nothing to do with rational discussion of right and wrong. But it's like conservatism has become its own new religion with its own rituals. So let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. In Syracuse, New York, Robert, speak your mind.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, Robert, does the signal KLTT, I know we're 50,000 watts, but does it reach Syracuse, New York?
Well, I get the show loud and clear on kgov.com.
Oh, over the web. Okay.
The reception is beautiful, but there is a little bit of a delay.
A delay, about
delay
a half.
Delay in the signal.
A half hour delay. Well, now I understand.
Yeah, it must have something to do with that censorship thing with the Super Bowl and all that.
Yeah, that's right. There's a 30-minute delay on right-wing Christian programming.
Well, thanks for having me on the show. I enjoy listening to the commentary. And I just wanted to... the examples that came to my mind to contribute to this are just like that kind of principle, of criticizing the government in the way, you know, regarding moral issues, and also the whole idea about conservatives saying if you don't support the war, you still must support the troops.
Right.
It's kind of the two things that stick out in my mind are like an alcoholic father and a family.
Right.
And none of the family members can say anything about his drinking.
Oh, good point.
Because he's the father.
Right.
You just don't do that. You don't rock the boat.
Yeah, so that conservative leaders are teaching us to become enablers.
Right. It's like a dysfunctional, play your dysfunctional role so everybody,
right.
So everything's okay.
If our government got into an unjust war, we American conservative Christians, we would support the war effort because, hey, we got into it.
Right.
I mean, that is so perverse. It's utterly, utterly perverse. Rush Limbaugh had a caller today, very aggressive, eloquent, fast-talking guy who was completely a fool, who objected to us being in the war in Iraq. And I was riding with a couple of young guys from Denver Bible Church. We're doing a series called The Plot Boys on MP3 CD. We got about 26 hours recorded so far, and I'm bringing those guys back home, and here's this guy, eloquent but evil, condemning the war, and I said, now let's listen to Rush, and my guess is he won't have the energy or the will to respond point by point. He's just going to collapse, because we've heard it over and over. Now, different talk show hosts do differently, but it's so discouraging. It's like they've lost the moral foundation, or I don't know if they've ever had one.
Well, the spirit behind that whole way of looking at things really reminds me of a debate I had in my classroom when I was in eighth grade, I think, about the abortion issue, which was, it seemed like the higher road, according to the people in the classroom at the time, was to say, I am against abortion personally, but I support the right for a woman to choose.
Right.
And obviously that's a very evil concept, but it's the same kind of spirit as, I think the war is terrible and immoral.
Right.
But I do support the troops.
It is the same, right. You'd be killing innocent people if the war was wrong.
Right.
Right. And I think of Ted Koppel on Nightline when he showed the pictures of all those who had died in Iraq. And the conservatives, understandably, were against that. But it's like they have such a hard time being succinct in explaining why it's wrong. It's wrong because Ted Koppel was using their deaths to try to cause us to lose a just war. He was trying to break our will in the fighting of a just war. So that's why it was wrong.
Yeah, but, and it's the way they present it, it's just politically motivated. They're not really interested in justice,
right,
or, you know, they really don't care about the issue as much as the political issue behind why they would do something like that, you know, make such a big deal about this. I mean, obviously, it's a horrible thing. I love your show last night, and I just really agree with a lot of things you said about, you know, what should happen to the people who did those things.
Oh,
I mean, it just
in Iraq, in the prison where these Iraqis were sexually assaulted and humiliated, the military police or the personnel who committed these crimes should be punished far beyond what the Pentagon will do to them. They should not be court-martialed. They should be executed for the homosexual perversion that they forced onto these prisoners.
Yeah, and it really seems like, you know, it's to the level of some of the things that Saddam did to his own enemies.
Well, I don't think that's the case. I mean, it was humiliating. They didn't murder people, right?
I don't know. I saw one picture of, I think it was on the Drudge Report, of some naked men that looked like they were tied to each other.
Right.
On the floor.
Right.
It just seemed like there was some physical, if not emotional,
well, I'm sure there was.
Torture.
I'm sure there was. When there's sexual abuse, torture, there's also physical and emotional. It has to go along. But still, that doesn't, you know, that can't rise. What we have seen reported can't rise to 30,000 people slaughtered a year under Saddam Hussein and the systematic rapes and mutilations,
right, yeah, and
tortures,
and
deaths.
You know, it matched it in any way.
Yeah, right. But it was filthy and perverse and despicable. And there are a lot of conservatives who are mad at Bush for apologizing. I'm not. When you, it doesn't matter how right you are on whatever issue, it's appropriate to apologize when you do wrong. And when those under your command do wrong, it's appropriate to apologize.
Yeah, and it doesn't weaken our moral position. It actually strengthens it.
It strengthens it, exactly. And conservative leaders around the country are furious that Bush has apologized. Just furious. They were mad at him for apologizing before he apologized.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that are going to criticize Bush no matter what he does.
Right.
And not that, you know.
Well, here at Bob and Yurt Live, we try to compliment him when he does right and rebuke him when he does wrong. And one of the things he does wrong frequently is he's pro-choice regarding pro-abortion judges. He says he's personally against abortion, but he nominates pro-abortion judges. He thinks it's good politics to nominate judges who will, by force of their rulings, kill unborn children. And if George Bush would ever promise to stop nominating pro-abortion judges, I'd be happy to support him.
Yeah, it seems like he's not really strong on moral issues when it comes to appointing, you know, for any position, really.
Well, look at the sexual filth that occurred in this prison in Iraq. It's not the military culture, as liberals who are quick to first condemn America and condemn our military. It's not the military culture. It's the culture. It's Hollywood. It's primetime TV, movies made for teenagers. It's MTV, black entertainment television. It's Howard Stern. Those guards were basically acting out Howard Stern segments because they had the ability to do so. And so we've got this filth in our country and our culture, and it's been increasingly on our airwaves. And now that the FCC has cracked down on some of the filth, the indecency, do you know who was behind the crackdown, the current crackdown to clean up the airwaves? Was it George Bush?
I think it was Powell, wasn't it?
No. No, to clean up the airwaves?
Yeah, not Colin Powell. But
Commissioner Powell from the FCC?
Yes.
Well, that's a good shot. I'll tell you who is behind it. Janet Jackson. It was because of her we have the current crackdown on the filth on our airwaves. It wasn't because George Bush or conservative. The conservative talk shows I listened to sided with Howard Stern.
Right.
They sided with Howard Stern. With he treats human beings like filth in the gutter. That's what he does. That's what he does, and he uses the airwaves that we all have to share to do it. And these in Iraq, these perpetrating these sexual assaults, they were Howard Stern Americans.
And I think that America generally is so blind to how harmful and how damaging this stuff is that's out in the media. And that's why I'm so glad that, you know, there's one station we could tune in and hear about, you know, people making the connection between the immoral culture and actual people getting hurt. And so many people think, well, you could just change the channel if you don't like it.
Right.
You know? And that, you know, to each his own, it's just harmless.
Yeah, kids,
entertainment for...
Yeah, kids don't change the channels. And we've got kids raising kids in this country.
Right.
Robert, thank you so very much.
Thanks for having me on the show.
I really appreciate the call. And for those of you who don't really... you're conservative, but you don't really like Bob and Yair Live, this program? Look, even if you're against the program, you must support the host. Even if you're against the program, you must support the host. In fact, this would be a good time to help out. If you think that the message here is valid, it's biblical, it's important, let me tell you what's going on. We were, for 2.5 years, we were on a waiting list to get to a daytime slot on KLTT because it's full power, 50,000 watts. Low on the AM dial, covers virtually all of Colorado into 7 neighboring states. So we were waiting for that for 3.5 years. We did our telethon in February, our broadcast telethon for the year, and we did not anticipate after 2.5 years getting a daytime slot, broadcast time. So what happened was the time we have available for commercials has been cut by 2/3. Because now we're only a half-hour show, and our airtime broadcast bill is increased by 1/3. So even if you went to public school, try to do the math. Your expenses increased by 1/3, and your revenue-generating commercials decreased by 2/3. So a few weeks after, we're now on a much more powerful signal. We are financially, we are really having a tough time. So if you can help, if you'd like to help with a one-time gift or a monthly pledge, boy, we would be thrilled. We plan on standing here with you, fighting this battle for as long as we can. If you can help us, call 1-800-8-NYART. Now, that's the call-in line, but it also works to reach the radio when we're not on the air, reach the studio. And you could place an order for one of our monthly Bible study albums. You could make a monthly pledge or a one-time donation. We could really use your help. You could subscribe to our monthly videos. Get one video a month for $24.95 a month, a Bible study album once a month for $34.95 a month. We think that you'll love it. We offer a money-back guarantee for everything we sell. We always have. You could check out the plot manuscript, our overview of the whole Bible. There's so many ways to help out, or you can go to our website, KGOV.com, and check out our store there and look at all these options for ways to help keep Bob and Yair Live on the air. All right, now, oh, and you could ask for our catalog if you call in, and you might want to ask them for the color catalog. I don't know, my office guys are cheap. They send out the black and white ones. Ask them for the color. Tell them to splurge. Okay. Now, the Southern Baptist Convention will be held next month. And this is really exciting. And this goes a lot farther than James Dobson did on Focus on the Family. James Dobson, happily, he called for people to take their kids out of public school if they lived in California. because California, they were promoting homosexuality in the public schools. And we thought, hello, how about all the public schools in the whole country? How about every rural district school you can find? How about every school? They're all godless. They, for the most part, they all promote sexual immorality, abortion, evolution, atheism, homosexuality, everything to destroy a child's respect for his family, his parents' religion, their family values. That's what the public schools do. So James Dobson needs to get a bit more courage and call for all parents to pull their kids out of government schools wherever they live. That's what he needs to do. And apparently there's a resolution that will be considered by the Southern Baptist Convention next month, calling on their millions of members to pull their kids out of government schools and either homeschool them or send them to Christian schools. Praise the Lord. Wow, that's exciting. It's tragic that Baptists have millions of kids going to public schools. I mean, atheistic public schools. That's tragic. What if the Jews in Old Testament Israel sent their kids to Philistine schools? You think God would have approved of that? No, of course not. So that's so good for them. We hope that they take action on that. We'll find out. We'll let you know. And then in Libya, a Libyan court has sentenced to death. Now, this is from Yahoo News, just out today, May 6th, 2004. A Libyan court sentenced to death six Bulgarian health workers and a Palestinian doctor. I guess I should say a Palestinian doctor, but convicted of spreading the HIV virus in a children's hospital. Now, this is a rather brief story, so it doesn't cover the evidence against them. But the court in northern Libya said the seven foreigners would be executed by a firing squad. They were found guilty of infecting 400 children. 43 of those children have died so far of AIDS. At a hospital in Benghazi, infecting them with the HIV virus. What a great tragedy. And of course, they plan to appeal the sentence to the Libyan Supreme Court in Tripoli. Hopefully, Gaddafi won't weigh in on their side just to improve the image of his country with Europeans. The Bulgarian government, of course, called the sentence unacceptable for the Bulgarian government and state. There will be an appeal. What is unacceptable for the Bulgarian government and state? If the evidence it was valid, if these healthcare workers were grossly negligent, causing 43 children to die, then what should the punishment be? You think they should be fined? Maybe $500 each? That's too little. $5,000 each? Maybe put in jail for 2 years in probation and community service? Now, God in the Bible, we Christians don't give God the courtesy of knowing what he thinks about cases like this. But God in the Bible said in a case of negligence leading to death, you should be put to death. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.